Duffy smashes one, past the reach of Rollins, into left field, base hit, into score for God. Here comes Posey. Here's the throw, the slide. Posey's safe. A two-run hit for Duffy. It's 8-3, Giants over to third, Crawford. The Giants have busted this game open.
Now back to Talking Baseball with Marty Lurie. Follow Marty on Twitter, at Baseball Marty. Now here's Marty Lurie.
That was Dave Fleming talking about the number three hitter for the Giants. It's not Willie Mays. It's not McCovey. It's not Cepeda. It's Matt Duffy hitting number three today. Who saw this coming? Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. It's interesting that Bochy's lineup today as he tries to sweep the Dodgers. By the way, that stat, the Giants have not swept the Dodgers in three separate three-plus game series in a single season since 1936. Really, we're back to Carl Hubbell. We're back to Bill Terry and Harry the Horse Danning and all these people. I don't know why I remember Burgess Whitehead. But that's the last time it happened. Now, for some of you, for Bruce Jenkins and I, we can relate to this. Last time the Giants got off to 9 wins in their first 11 games against the Dodgers, that would be 1964. And those are the players that we just talked about. The real big Giants were playing then, and, of course, with the good pitching staff, too. All right. Time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Of course, it's brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. And check them out, truettandwhite.com, of course. And there's showroom in Berkeley and also in the Monterey Peninsula. Bruce, how are you on this Sunday?
Doing well, Marty. Thanks.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to you. What'd you do today?
Oh, I had a delightful breakfast made by my 16-year-old daughter, Molly, and I heard from my older girls who are out of town, and I'm being pampered, and, you know, it's as it should be. It's a beautiful day down here at the coast, and we're just kind of chilling out, watching sports and golf and soccer, and it's very, very nice.
Boy, 16 already, my goodness.
Yeah, she's driving and doing great.
All right. You didn't teach her how to drive, did you?
Oh, no. Actually, I was the first one in the car with her when she first, because my wife was so terrified of the prospect. But now, I think she trusts her mom more than me now, but we got it done somehow.
Yeah, for the kids, I took them to Golden Gate Fields to the parking lot. That's where, and the only one we had trouble with was Sam Spear, who was driving in the parking lot as well. But other than that, it was okay.
We went to a parking lot as well.
Yeah, it's really a rite of passage, teaching your kid how to drive, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it was really a daunting prospect, but she took to it really well, and she wants to be very safe. She wants to be the safest driver in the family, and that's how she drives. So thank goodness she doesn't want to set any speed records.
All right, very good. What do you think about some of these numbers, Giants-Dodgers? And, you know, we rattle off these numbers, and, you know, they played for so many years and years and thousands of games, and all of a sudden you haven't had a three-game sweep in 1 year of three games or more since 1936. It's an incredible run that they're on this year against the Dodgers.
Yeah, you're going back to, I mean, the 1936 Dodgers. You know, Babe Phelps and Lonnie Fry and
Babe Herman. And
yeah. I mean, that's pretty wild. As I was thinking, I couldn't remember a time, you know, since I've been following them since the late 50s on, that the Giants were this dominant over the Dodgers. You know, it always seemed like it was a dogfight back and forth, and it's pretty wild, and it's a great thing. I mean, it's the one team they need to do this against, and they're doing it.
You know, the one guy in the lineup, I want to talk about Duffy for a second. I was joking. That's your new number three hitter today is Matt Duffy, if you can believe that. But Joe Panik, Bruce, you know, today is the one-year anniversary of when he was brought up, June 21st. He was brought up last year. And, of course, had the phenomenal season, the great postseason. He's hitting over 300. He turns a double play, really, I think, as well as anybody in the league right now. He is a catalyst for this team. Joe Panik is a guy maybe we overlook a little bit, but this is a major part of what's going on here.
Boy, it really is. He's a ball player, you know, and whoever scouted him at St. John's, you know, saw that. He's not a guy who jumps out at you like Joey Gallo, you know, or Chris Bryant, or a you know, a terrific shortstop with just phenomenal range. He's just a good ball player, and I just love the fact that he came up at this time last year and just right away looked like he belonged. He hit over 300 for the time he was there, He hit in the postseason. He made great plays. The guys took to him. He's a typical Giant. He's selfless and humble, but very, very confident. And it completes that homegrown infield thing they've going on. And really, if D. Gordon weren't having such a great year for Miami at second base, he'd be in that discussion to start the All-Star game.
And I'll tell you something. You know, we fool around with, if you could start a team today, who would be your first pick? You know, the Trout, Harper, McCutcheon, Stanton, all that business. But if you could pick any second baseman today, and I'll throw Robinson Cano in there, I'm not so sure you don't have panic in the top few.
Oh yeah, I mean, if I were starting a team, I think I'd. It sounds blasphemous, but you know, Cano is not a terribly young guy. He's still in his prime. But if I was looking for long term, I don't know. I certainly like Panic's style a lot better. And if he's going to hit 300, then I'll take him. I can't think of too many others. You know, I mean, D. Gordon is a great one too. He's still very young. He's a great catalyst. He's leading off. He's stealing bases, hitting 350. That's not going to last, but he's for real. But yeah, the Panic's just one of those guys you'd love to have on your team. He's the perfect second baseman. You just all of a sudden you don't worry about that position.
Yeah.
That's over. The concern about that is over.
Yeah, understated. I mean, you got Kelton Long in there. You got Brandon Phillips, but. Really, and you know, it's amazing to me. You said it, and Bam Bam Mullen said it when we had him on a few minutes ago. He is a lifetime 300 hitter.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until it was, you know, because I said, yeah, did he hit 300 last year? And you're right,
he
305
did.
Last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that amazes me because, you know, he's new to the scene. The team's in contention. He's trying to win the position, but he's winning it convincingly. You know, you'd expect a guy like that to be hitting around 262 or something, but geez.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and again, look, the great players came up their first year. They didn't hit 300. You know that. And, you know, the Jim Rices of the world, and maybe there are few of guys, the Freddie Lins, guys like that. But most come up, they'll hit 260, 270, and then, of course, their careers take off. You don't see rookies come up and do what he's done. I think, really, it's one of those stories. I don't know if we take them for granted, but it's understated or what. But it's time to really put a focus on him. When he makes things happen, they win.
Yeah, he fits into the team so well. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Posey a little bit, just in terms of his temperament. He's so even keeled. He's so steady. You can rely on him, and he's just one of those guys. How great would it be if he made the All-Star team? That would really be. I don't know if vindication is the word, but it'd be very well earned, and I don't think anybody in the league would have a problem with it.
Well, let's put it this way. You have three email addresses in your house. You can vote 105 times.
Yeah.
And that would do it.
Who comes up with that? 30, you can vote 35. What the hell?
I don't,
well, that's not in the spirit of anything. except robbery.
Right. It's not even a lucky number of anything.
No.
But someone has emailed me, because we got into this last night already, and I think last night, I forget who did the show with me last night, I think it was Justin, said that 60 million votes have been discounted.
I mean, I read that.
I mean, come on.
Phony email addresses, or maybe they're just trying to do that for show to make it sound like, hey, we're on this.
I mean,
it's impossible.
How could you take the time to figure out that 60 million email addresses? Didn't, I mean, seriously, it's like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, I do think the fans should be involved in it. Maybe not 100% of the vote. Maybe the players and managers get part of the vote. But I just thought it made a lot more sense when you got a ballot at the park and you filled it out and you dropped it in a box. I mean, all right, so you got a little bit of litter around the park afterward, but it's a way more fair system. I mean, it doesn't sound like the modern age very much, but it's certainly better than you know, finding 16 different email addresses times 35.
Right. And I mean, really, honestly, it's the internal security force.
Yeah.
And they can make a movie out of this, really. They can make a comedy out of it to see how they do.
That's a nice job. You spend all day doing that, then you can't really say what you did. You just come up with a number. Well, it was 60 million.
And I want to tell you, that email address doesn't look right to me. It just doesn't look right. Throw that vote out. I don't care who it is. Crazy. Really, we live in a crazy world. The internet is, you know, it's wonderful. We love it. It's great information. But there are parts of it, and we try to use it and try to monitor it. It's impossible. It's just impossible to do.
Yeah, it
crazy.
Really is.
All right. Scherzer yesterday, I was lucky enough to be on with John in our talk back when the whole Scherzer, Tabata, at bat took place, and John and I were, you know, John was calling the game on the radio.
Oh, that's terrific.
And we screamed out, wait a minute, he moved his arm down. What do you think?
Well, I think in slow motion it looks a little suspect, but, you know, in real time, the thing that bothers me most is the elbow armor. It bothered the hell out of me with Bonds, with anybody. You got to get that stuff off of there. You can't just sit there and take a pitch in the elbow and go, cool. You know, I mean, the pitch was inside. It was a pitch that could hit him. It wasn't like he leaned into it. It just blatantly took it in the shoulder. It was a little bit suspect. But to me, I don't think you can fry Tabata for that. And you thank God he got the no-hitter. That's the bottom line for me. If the next guy had, you know, doubled or whatever, but... you know, and Scherzer didn't make a big deal out of it, which is great. You know,
yeah.
I think he knew it wasn't a great pitch, and it hit the guy, and you know, what are you going to do? It was a reaction. I don't know who's to say if it was that tawdry or not.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that it was not a good pitch.
No,
you know, it was a slider, I guess. And it backed up kind of into him, or never moved.
Mm-hmm.
And but there is that look in his eye when he drops the arm. When he drops the arm, and I think it's almost an instinctive baseball move, as opposed to him saying, "I want to break up the perfect game. Let me get hit."
That's not how it goes. I mean, if you watch it, if you really slow it down, you think the guy's got all the time in the world to figure this out.
Yeah,
that's just not the way it comes down.
No, but how about Scherzer himself? I mean, you know,
I mean,
54 of 57 batters have been retired by him.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, you know, in the game today, you know, you got to go back to Hooks Wiltse of 1908, or, you know, who's throwing to Roger Bresnahan, who just invented the shin guards. You know, you got to find a guy who lost a perfect game by hitting the last batter. But for Scherzer, I mean, can you give me a better pitcher in baseball today?
Yeah. And why is it that every time I hear the name Max Scherzer, I feel like ordering a pastrami on rye with some chicken soup?
Well, because he works.
Like Scottsdale Deli, you know.
Because he was behind the counter. That's exactly where he was. But and then afterwards, how about this? Now, you know, there's celebrations, and I don't know, someone should do an anthology on the walk-off celebration, so to speak. And, you know, they've thrown peanuts at him and ice at him, and they ripped the shirt off, and, you know, and they did the bowling pin thing. I mean, you know, a million things have happened. And he had Kendrys Morales breaking his ankle, jumping on home plate.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, they come out with chocolate syrup.
Yeah, you know, just
please.
Why not just a big vat of molasses? You know, while you're, or how about Elmer's glue, where he can't move any of his body parts? The whole thing is just, it's so ridiculous. It's so predictable. I mean, at first it was kind of zany, and now it's so trite, and you're just waiting for it to be over with. I just don't get it. I mean, you got to ball players. I used to think they had as a rule a pretty fair sense of humor and timing, but this thing is just ridiculous.
Well, you know, a beer shower when you walk in, maybe the white towels are spread out. This one, you know, if they're going to bring out ice cream next, then that'll be it. Really, I just looked at this and I said he seems to be enjoying it.
Chocolate syrup.
Try getting it off. Holy cow! Jake Peavy today, six full innings, and Karen just tweeted to us, six full, five hits, an earned run, two walks, three strikeouts, and a homer. And you had Kane last night. Bruce, I said last night if Kane was coming back from an oblique or a hamstring and you looked at his lines in the minor leagues on the rehab, you'd say, get him in here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And here's Peavy doing what he's done now. He comes off the rehab tomorrow, so he's probably ramped it up his last two times, which have been better. What the heck are the Giants going to do?
Oh, you know, I heard you talking to Chris Haft about that, and I heard his answer, and it was kind of like, well, I mean, he doesn't know. I mean, he's as close to the team as anybody. I'm certain, you know, Bags and Henry, they don't – you can't really say. There's no logical answer to it. I mean, taking Vogelsong out of the rotation now would be ridiculous after his last start and what he's given the club. Hudson, after a couple innings last night, you thought maybe he was a candidate, but he righted himself really well, got the big double play from Turner and Gonzalez and – struck out Ether with a great curveball, and all of a sudden he was back. So, I mean, there is no logical way to do it. I mean, for my money, I have a hard time taking any of them out of there. I really do. I mean, it's very odd. But I guess it would have to be Vogelsong. But, I mean, we'll see what happens with Lincecum. And it's a good problem to have. I saw somewhere on the trade rumors that the Giants are interested in Samardzija, and I thought, well, that'd be a nice pickup. But hell, they got problems with, you know, figuring out where to put seven guys in five slots.
Well, and I had Phil Rogers on today, and we talked about Samardzija because I read that I think it was Jason Stark had that in his list of 10. He had Samardzija going to the Giants. I said, let me get Phil Rogers on to talk about it. And you know, we talked about Samardzija, you know, and the likelihood of the White Sox trading people and all that, which is not really the story. But the better story is, and you've followed Giants baseball and baseball for so long, Bobby Bolin, Rod Herbel, these are guys who swing guys back and forth.
Yeah.
But I think you're looking at it. I think you're looking at the Giant team that's going to take you the rest of the last 90 games or 92 games, whatever it is. And I think the way they played last night, that's if there was a playoff game, that's the way they'd play. They're going to get five or six innings out of a starter. Mm-hmm. They got a number one, and everyone else is a four or five. And then they're going to go to this bullpen, and they're going to have, you know, a very good team on the field. And that's your 2015 San Francisco Giants. There's just you don't have enough time or room to start moving people around other than to jockey around with what you actually have.
But how many guys are in your rotation? I mean, how often does Bumgarner pitch?
Well, he's got to pitch. I don't think they'll do anything but a five-man rotation.
Yeah.
I think ultimately someone's going to get DL'd, and then Vogelsong or Lincecum would become bullpen people. Because I think Heston and Bumgarner kind of stay where they are and one other, and then these two guys come back in. I mean, if Peavy and Kane can pitch, why not? I mean, you know, they're
for sure. If Kane can pitch, he has to be in there.
Yeah.
You know, Peavy's been up and down. He's been a great pitcher in his career, not so much recently, although at times he has. He's been spotty. I think everybody's a little bit distrustful of him. But yeah, I mean, the good thing about it is that Lincecum could go to the bullpen. You know, he's shown he can do it. He needs about 8 seconds to warm up.
Right.
And Vogelsong could do it as well and be a long guy. So,
but then you got to get rid of people to get these people on the roster, which is not simple.
Yeah, I've always been an advocate of more players on the roster, just in general, not for doubleheaders or 40, September, but all the time having 27 guys on the roster, and you can have way more flexibility, much deeper bench, and et cetera, et cetera. But that's not happening right away. It's really going to be a challenge. It's a huge challenge for Bochy and Rigetti and. And you just figure they're going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And you just have to watch it unfold. To sit there and second guess it, I think would be kind of silly.
No, and I can't even first guess it because I can't. I can't
exactly. I really have no idea. I was like Chris Happ. I have no idea.
Yeah, neither do I. And we talk about this 50 hours a day, and I still can't figure it out. But more than likely, I guess Vogelsong, because he was the last guy in, so to speak.
Yeah.
That he'd be the first guy out. And then Lincecum's a little more flexible, but we'll see. But what I saw last night, really, I thought I saw if this thing plays out and the Giants do get in, which I think they've got an excellent chance of getting in, I think this is what you're looking at. And don't forget Peavy, the last half of the season last year, Bruce, was one of the best in the league.
Yeah, he was. He definitely was. And he definitely deserves a shot. And he's such a great competitor. You know, he and Kane both, they're two of the best competitors in the league.
Right.
They just absolutely are, so... it's interesting. Who would have thought this, you know, before Heston came up and they looked like they just had Bumgarner and that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of a sudden. But it does lend itself to a lot of optimism, I think, as far as making the playoffs, and that's really what it's about.
So how do you like Duffy in the three spot? What do you think about that?
Hey, why not? You know, he'll double to right. He'll jack one down the left field line. Who knows what he may do? I mean, it's great. Duffy, you know. I love what he's done. I was real skeptical of him at first just because he doesn't sort of look the part and he came out of nowhere, but he's really responded. He's a little bit like Panic. He looks like he belongs. And, when he's hitting the ball, when he's in stride, he's an RBI guy. He drives the ball. He can hit it out. He hits the ball to both gaps.
Right.
So in this particular case, why not?
Yeah, why not? You know, it's interesting. Anderson tonight is a lefty. He doesn't hit lefties very well, but they have him in the three spot. Pagan back in the leadoff spot. Aoki's out. So, they're manipulating. And then he's got Belt in left field tonight.
Yeah.
So he's, these are the Dodgers. It's a big game. And, and all of a sudden the lineup looks a little different tonight.
Well, after you've won the first two, you can kind of – You don't take your foot off the gas, but you can if there's something you've been wanting to do, it's a better time to do it when you've won the first two games than when you're about to get swept. So, and I, you know, they still, they like to see a little more of Belt in left field. I know they're very wary of what might happen, and I certainly am too, but they wouldn't mind seeing Belt look comfortable out there so they can use it again in the future.
Boy, looking at the league, though, did you see all the runs today? Have you looked at some of the scores?
I have not, no.
Holy cow. Well, well, when you and I get off, well, Bonte will run down the runs, but, you know, there's Washington got nine in the first. Against Charlie Morton and Pittsburgh. Harper hit another home run today. In the second inning, the Orioles got eight. Toronto got seven.
I'm looking now. Colorado's got 10. Yeah, Baltimore's got 13. Detroit, 12. Good grief.
How about Boston? Boston's in double figures today as well. The Cubs, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So, who is it summer? Well, today it's summer's here, right? The bats heat up in summer.
Love it. Longest day of the year, I think, today, isn't it?
That's correct. Ray Ratto said it's his worst day of the year. It's too
long. Well, it's my best, so there was. It's in a tie with many others.
All right, one last thought. And talking to Phil Rogers, who I really like. Isn't Phil Rogers?
Oh, yeah, I know Phil for a long, long time.
One of the best, isn't he, Bruce?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Great guy out of Texas, real smart, humble, good writer, does a good job. He's been around a long, long time.
Yeah, he'll be a Spink winner, I think.
Yeah, he's that kind of a guy, exactly.
Yeah, so we talked about relief pitching, and I can't think of another season where the relievers are sort of creeping down even further, excuse me, into like a fifth inning or sixth inning. Francona used his closer after a rain delay to get out of a jam. I tell you, it's like molasses. You know, they're creeping back the ninth inning. They're going to be in the fifth inning before you turn around, and the quality start will be five innings and two runs.
Yeah,
it's really the bullpen guys are just a dominant part of the game today.
Yeah, and you wind up seeing guys just throwing the heck out of the ball every pitch, every inning. Did you see the quote from Matt Wieters about Tommy John surgery? He's a catcher for the Orioles who had it himself, but talking about pitchers, he thinks a big reason guys are going down is that every pitch is 100% effort. You got guys going out there thinking, well, I'm good for five or maybe six innings here. Then I'm going to turn it over to some guy who throws 98 with a wicked, you know, two-seamer and a cutter, and then there'll be another guy and then another guy. And the whole game is just guys just throwing like crazy. And he said the arm isn't meant to throw that hard that often. He said he was talking to Jim Palmer and Scott McGregor, you know, two guys who were Palmer was more of a power pitcher and McGregor more finesse, but you know, they didn't expend 100% energy on every pitch just by any means, and he thinks that's part of the reason. But you know, it what it adds up to for a hitter is just it's this incredible load. I mean, you might see a pretty good starter for just a couple of bats, so you really can't get adjusted to him, and next thing you know, somebody's coming in, maybe you never even heard of him, and it's like, who the hell is this, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is why I think the Giants can pull it off because, you know, the game is changing again. The bullpen is Kansas City showed how you can do it. You can make it a five-inning game, a six-inning game.
Yeah, there you go.
And I think the Giants are relatively comfortable. Maybe they're a little nervous, but I think they're relatively comfortable building up an outstanding bullpen. And I think that's where things are going to change and because you can't get away from these starters. There are too many of them.
I think that's a really good point, especially as it relates to their chances down the stretch. Because I mean, you can bring in Strickland; he's good for three or four innings if you need him. If Broadway can have command, he's another guy. It's like, my God, then what are you going to add Vogelsong and Lincecum too? And then you got the other guys. I mean, absolutely.
This is what's going to happen. I see it. There's just too many of them, and there's not enough time for auditions.
Yeah.
Really, because July 31st is, you know, how many starts can Peavy get before July 31st? Four?
Yeah.
You know, Kane, two? And, you know, and you're not going to know. And I think you're looking at it. I think you're looking at it. I think they're going to build a bullpen to pick up these guys. So that's my thought.
Yeah, and I think they're gonna start winning at home, too. I think as weird as that was, there's no way that continues. I mean,
Padres.
You got great pitching. It's always going to help in a big ball.
Padres coming in this week. I want to talk to Pat Murphy. Did you know him at all, Bruce?
ASU? Never met him. No.
Yeah, I want to get his thoughts on managing in the big leagues. See what he has to say about that.
Yep, that'll be interesting. I feel bad for Buddy Black, but we'll see how that works out.
All right. Have a great afternoon and a happy Father's Day. And I'm glad that Molly's driving very nicely. This is
thank you, Marty. I'll pass that along.
All right. Have a good afternoon. Thanks,
okay.
Bruce. All right. Thank you. All right. That is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle on this Father's Day. A good baseball discussion. I like that. All right, we'll take a break. Bonte's going to come back, give us the scoreboard And what's going on? A lot of home runs, I would imagine, too. But, boy, they're just pasting relievers, starters, everybody today. And it's a Sunday. It's summer. And get ready. Here we go. There's 92. Let's see. It'll be 92 to go after today. What, 91? Yeah. And this is it. This is the story that we can't wait till it unfolds. And now it's really going to start speeding up, and you'll get the idea of what's going to go on. We put in some time already. We put in the first 2 months, almost the first 3 months. And we put in our time. Now baseball comes back and gives you the story. And that's what we wait for. All right, more coming up on the Sports Leader.